Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm Janet Hutchings, Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's editor. Each month, I'll be choosing a story from our archives for dramatization or for reading. For this first podcast in a series that will bring you every type of mystery, from the hard-boiled crime story to the classical whodunit, I've selected a story by Ellery Queen. Ellery Queen was the pseudonym of two Brooklyn-born cousins, Frederick Dene and Manfred B. Lee. Writing under the Queen byline all the way from 1929 till 1971, they became the best-selling American mystery novelists of their time. Their unique combination of quality writing and genius in constructing complex and surprising puzzle plots made them stars during the pre-World War II period known as mystery's golden age. Unlike many other American writers, who tended to emulate the great British writers of the detective genre, Queen developed a distinctly American style for the classical mystery. As one important critic from that era put it, Ellery Queen is the American detective story. Our selection this month, which appeared in EQMM in 1956, has been dramatized in the style of a 1940s radio play. Dene and Lee, who wrote hundreds of scripts for one of the first radio programs ever to air, The Adventures of Ellery Queen, would be right at home with this treatment of their story, The Minor Birds.
Tonight's case is one of the few in which Ellery accepted help from a witness of another species. The observer was a minor bird, one of 38 black and yellow beauties who lived with a certain Mrs. Andrus, a lonely old lady who had outlived family and friends, and whom an aging body had condemned to a wheelchair. Her only human connections were her physician, the somewhat bloated Dr. Cook, attorney DeRose, whom the doctor had recommended to manage Mrs. Andrus's affairs, and her paid companion Miss Baggett, also a recommendation of the good doctor, a frozen-faced woman of middle years whose only positive quality, in the old lady's opinion, was her devotion to the birds. Mrs. Andrus's will, which attorney DeRose had dutifully drawn up, called for the birds to be cared for until their passing, after which what remained of her property was to be administered for the benefit of designated charities. DeRose was to be the executor and Miss Baggett the curator. In the meanwhile, all she asked of Dr. Cook and the other two for their generous retainers, beyond their professional services, was the occasional evening of contract bridge, a skill her minas, though some had a vocabulary of over 100 words, had not achieved. Despite her infirmities, Mrs. Andrus was generally a pleasant enough woman to be around, having accepted her situation with the wisdom of age. But on the last night of her life, she was not happy. Indeed, her face was positively menacing as she wheeled herself into the living room, where the three were seated at the card table, ready to play.
Ah, Mrs. Andrus. Nothing wrong, I hope? Not feeling that nasty pain again tonight, are we?
Nothing a grand slam wouldn't cure, eh, Doctor? Mm. Well, let's begin. The usual partners...
The game is over, Mr. DeRose. Over?
Hello, Funny Face.
Hush, Minnie. You thought I was asleep at my nap time, Miss Baggett, but you were quite mistaken. I overheard what you said on the phone to Dr. Cook and Mr. DeRose here.
Oh, my.
Don't you trust your confederates, Miss Baggett? Well, or have they been cheating their own kind, too?
Confederates cheating?
I'm sure I don't know what you think you overheard, Mrs. Andrus.
I overheard enough, Doctor, to realize why you brought Mr. DeRose and Miss Baggett into my life. I'm being systematically robbed by the three of you. I've been an old fool, but not anymore. Now listen to me. First you're going to put back what you've taken. You have 10 minutes to give me an accounting of the stolen funds.
10 minutes?
10 minutes, Dr. Cook. Then we'll go on from there.
Ah! Say ah!
Well, Baggy, you've messed it up. Suppose you fix it.
Oh, that's right. Blame me. I warned you two not to be so greedy. To wait till she kicked off. Put the money back. Maybe she won't prosecute.
An academic question, I'm afraid. The bookies have my share. And from the way you've been painting the town, DeRose, I gather you're in the same situation. Any suggestions from our legal department?
The way I had it set up, we could have gone on working this gold mine for years. Who'd squawk? The birds?
Well, there's an old bird in the bedroom who's going to squawk. To the DA!
Suppose... she doesn't.
What do you mean?
I said suppose she doesn't. Suppose that tonight we had to cut our bridge game short because, say, Mrs. Andrus wasn't feeling very well. And suppose Dr. Cook gave her some sleeping pills while Miss Baggett retired to her room and went out like a light. And then the doctor and Mr. DeRose left. And suppose, as soon as they were gone, that slippery apartment burglar who's been working the West Side lately broke in. And suppose the old woman surprised him and he lost his head. And suppose, since he's known to carry a knife... Yes! Unless you want to go to jail for 10 years. I don't. Do you, Doctor?
Your diagnosis convinces me, Mr. DeRose. Let's agree on the modus operandi before she comes back, shall we?
There's no answer, Inspector Queen.
Break the door down, Sergeant. There's no time to lose. Good Lord. This must be Mrs. Andrus. Call an ambulance. O'Toole, see if you can stop the bleeding.
Listen. Behind the door.
Right. Ellery, kick it in. Get back in here. Hold it right there. Cuffs on him. Well, what have we here? Dr. Cook, Counselor DeRose, and Miss Baggett, I presume.
I'll check on Mrs. Andrus, Dad.
It's too late, Mr. Queen. She's gone.
What do we got, Dr. Prouty?
Death was immediate, Inspector. 4 knife wounds in the left chest. No one wound was on the mark, but at her age and condition, they were cumulatively fatal.
What about the knife we found on the kitchen table, Doc?
Almost certainly the murder weapon, though it seems to have been wiped clean of blood and prints.
Cut! Cut!
Yes, Blackie, you're quite right. Whatever phony plot you 3 had in mind, it was doomed to failure before it was even hatched. Mrs. Andrus phoned me earlier this evening after sending Miss Baggett out on an errand. She told me all about what she'd found out today and about calling you 3 together for a showdown tonight. I warned her not to show her hand until we got here, but apparently she was too outraged to wait, and you killed her.
Cut! Cut!
Correction noted, Birdie. All right, which one of you did the actual cutting?
You've got it all wrong, Inspector.
Convince me.
The doctor and I arrived late, and Miss Baggett was just coming back from a walk, and we all saw a masked man ducking out the bedroom window, and then you pounded on the door, and we panicked.
You don't say. So that's why we caught you piling out the bedroom window.
There must be some way of telling who wielded the knife. They came here ostensibly for a bridge game.
Cut! Cut! Cut!
Well, look at that. He's pecking a card.
He said cut. Why, he must have been a witness to the murder.
38 eyewitnesses. Maybe, Dad, we ought to question them.
I'd almost settle for that, son. Only, as it happens, even they weren't here.
They weren't?
Not in the living room where she got it. No, I guess you didn't notice. They flew in from the bedroom when we kicked open the door and grabbed these lice.
Dad!
Well, what is it?
But if Blackie wasn't at the scene of the crime, why does he keep saying cut?
Well, how should I know? It's one of the words he's picked up.
That's right. It's one of the words he's picked up because Mrs. Andrus is so fond of bridge. She told me herself she'd played bridge regularly with these people. The cards. I think Blackie solved the case for us. The timing of the murder pretty much disposes of your alibi, DeRose. Mrs. Andrus was killed no more than 30 seconds or so before we broke the door in, which exposes your burglar story for the lie it is. The only remaining question is, which one of you did the actual stabbing? It might give Mrs. Andrus's soul a little satisfaction to know that one of her beloved minas has supplied us with the answer. At one point tonight, you 3 sat in these 3 chairs. 3, because Mrs. Andrus would have had to use her wheelchair. What were you doing? The cards tell the story. The closed deck in the middle contains 49 cards. The other 3 cards are distributed about the table at each of your seats. Face up. The 3 of hearts, the king of spades, and the 9 of hearts.
They cut the cards. Butchers. Cutting to see which one was going to stick the old lady.
This card setup, which you had no time to put away, even tells us who drew what. From the cigars in your pocket and that cold cigar butt in the ashtray beside the spade king, Dr. Cook, it was you who drew the king of spades. The cigarette butt in the tray beside the 9 of hearts indicates your seat, DeRose. because if it had been smoked by this woman, it would be tipped with her lipstick. So you, Miss Baggett, drew the heart 3.
3, 9, king. That does it.
Indeed, it does.
It was the skunk who drew the king of spades. You, cook.
No.
No, quite right. No one with medical training, Dad, would stab 4 times in the area of the heart and fail to find a vital spot. Dr. Cook would have finished her in 1 surgical stroke.
But Cook drew the high card.
They were cutting for loser, Dad, not winner.
Oh, my.
So it wasn't the high card that drew the murder assignment. It was the low card. And since we know DeRose drew the heart 9, you the heart 3, that lays this miserable killing right in your lap, Miss Baggett.
No!
Down 1! Down 1!
Now that, Blackie, is your first mistake. Under the laws of this state, it's going to be down 3.
Thank you for listening to The Minor Birds by Ellery Queen. Ellery was played by John Pericello, Inspector Queen by Jim Crana, Mrs. Andrus by Janice Erlinson, Dr. Cook and Inspector O'Toole by Bruce Robertson, Attorney DeRose by Joe Polino, Miss Baggett by Desiree Goyette, and Dr. Prudy by Ed Bogus, who also did the adaptation and the music. The engineers were Darren Roven and Mark Baim.
The Mina Birds and all of the Ellery Queen characters are copyrighted by the Frederick Dene and Manfred B. Lee Literary Property Trusts. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like The Mina Birds, by visiting our website at www.themysteryplace.com/EQMM.